Welcome back. Remember, if you bought a house anywhere but Santa Barbara, you're not paying enough taxes. I've changed that little quip to make it germane to today's guest. The Price is Right, Ed Price. He was on a few years ago when he was the property tax division chief, County Santa Barbara Auditor Controller's Office. Now he's currently Assistant Auditor Controller. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Ed Price.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate being on the air with you.
Well, we got a few interesting topics about changes to property taxes and impacts of taxes from the Thomas Fire debris flow, PACE loans, something about unitary tax. Is that like is that on the Unitarian Church? That's something different.
No, Unitary is a type of taxpayer.
We'll get there.
Yeah, don't get there.
We'll get there. So you actually went from the property tax division chief to an assistant.
I did.
So I joked that, you know, you got demoted, but of course that's not the case. you're moving on up. That means you could be the controller next time around.
Well, that's an elected position, which means I'd have to throw my hat in the political spectrum and go over there, but that's probably not going to happen in my career.
Oh, well, you know, as a rule, I never have people on who are running for office. I kind of calculated that you might run for office, but I also thought it might be one of those positions that we have where almost no one runs opposed to somebody. It's usually the assistant or somebody just ends up running. You know what I mean? Those kind of roles?
Right. Yeah, that's typically what this office is like. But, you know, our prior auditor controller, Bob Geis, was in the office for 30-some years and then went to his assistant. And then we did have a election that was contested here last year, and Betsy Schaefer won, and she appointed me her assistant. So here I am today.
Great. I remember the name Bob Geis. And, and it's good. So when you retire, you can come back on and tell us about all the infighting, why there were two people running.
If I can remember that long ago.
Okay, so potential changes to property taxes, and I've been hearing this thing called Split Roll Initiative, qualified for the November 2020 ballot. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so, you know, you probably have heard this over the years. There's been some attempts to split the tax roll, and that whole concept of splitting the tax roll is taking different classes of property and value them differently, so you get a different tax calculation. You know, the end result would be different taxes. So what's on and got qualified for November 2020 is splitting the roll into two property tax, basically residential and commercial. Now, the residential world will not change as we know it today, but on the commercial side, what they're looking to do is instead of having it valued under the acquisition base or the Prop 13 basis, it would be on a market valuation, where every couple years they'd go out and look at the market and say, oh, well, now this is what your property's worth, so therefore that's what it should be assessed at. And so that's kind of a big change.
It's a big change, not to residential, you say commercial, and when you say commercial, does that include residential income? Someone owns 4 units, 6 units, 8 units?
I'm not that versed in the legislation or the actual ballot measurement here, but I don't think so. I think it's strictly trying to look for commercial properties. You and I would probably think of them.
Right. And so they'll be suddenly evaluating property taxes differently. Residential would stay the same if this split roll initiative it has been qualified, and it definitely will be on the November 2020 ballot.
That's what I'm seeing on the Secretary of State's website this morning.
Well, that's a long time off, isn't it?
It is, right?
Yeah. And so, what do you know the ins and outs? Like, if you own a commercial property, does anything change, or does it just change when it's sold?
Now, it looks like it's going to be effective. Now, this is one of the rubs with the ballot initiative, the way I read it, is so it goes on to the voters on November 2020, but it's effective for valuations January 1st of 2020. So it's really late in, you know, the year 2020, which will make some difficulties for our assessors to actually implement it.
Yeah, that's kind of tough to buy a property in January, the first, you know, 10 months of the year, and you really won't know how to calculate your, you're going to get qualified to buy a commercial property based on your income and your expenses, and then suddenly your expenses could shoot up.
Right, right. And more importantly, for those folks that have owned for a while, they might see a big change as well because, you know, when they bought in, they were under the Prop 13 acquisition basis. And, you know, 5-10 years go by and they're used to that fairly stabilized property tax amount. And all of a sudden they look at it market and say, you know, it's increased dramatically since you purchased it. So you might see a large increase there as well.
Okay, so then I wasn't understanding when I asked you if it was just related to new sales versus existing. And I, when you said January 1st, 2020, I thought you meant it would only impact properties that were purchased after January 1st, but that's not the case.
No, no. And the way I read it, it's going to be all property valued on January 1st. And so in that case, somebody buys early in the year probably won't see such a shockwave, but it's the people it's owned for some periods of time.
Right. If you buy, right, right. The retroactive aspect of it, that makes it much more, I would think, controversial and maybe more difficult to pass. You got to figure, you know, every government wants taxes, needs taxes. And so you think they would try to create something that was palatable enough, but you're really coming down on, not you, they're really coming down on every property owner and retroactively going back. That's I think that's going to make it difficult to pass.
It may. I'll be curious to see where it goes. They obviously got qualified, and the rumor has it that it's got some good momentum, but, you know, as we get into the actual voting season, and I'm sure there'll be quite a bit of discussions out in the press and so forth on the goods and the bads on this here. We'll see where it goes. But it's an interesting issue, you know, because under Prop 13, the evaluation was set by that amendment to the acquisition base and with a little bit of inflation over time, whereas most jurisdictions outside of California do use some form of market valuation.
Yes, California is unique in that respect, and that's true. And there's always been this underlying wave of people wanting to kind of upend it. And I think all the people that are against it will call it like a break in the dike. You know, you do this, and then something else going to happen.
Certainly, you know, it's a slippery slope sometimes when you make a change, right?
Right, and that's the argument of the other side. You, on the other hand, you know, you're not involved in any of the political aspect of it. You're just doing your job, and your job is assistant auditor controller at the county controller's auditor controller's office. Is that the?
That's correct.
Ed Price. The Price is right. You got the perfect name to be involved with property taxes. Price. Ed Price.
I appreciate hearing that. That's been a joke that goes around a long time now.
Yeah, I'm sure. I knew I wasn't the first. Another potential change, SB5?
Well, you know, if you don't mind, we'll talk a little bit more about the split role initiative.
Oh,
because
keep
there's
going.
A couple of nuances into this that's just worthy of some chat, I think, here. You know, So one of the difficulties is going to be implementation for the assessors because, you know, they're not staffed up to do that type of assessment and the frequency they have to do it. And as we talked about this kind of delayed effectiveness, if it passes, how that first-year implementation is probably going to be awkward at best. I can see, you know, corrections to tax bills and that kind of stuff, which will be probably frustrating to the taxpayers, would be for me if I were one, a business owner. But the other side of this here is it's going to be more work for our office as well as the auditor controller because our job is to calculate the actual taxes that are being generated and when they're collected, then distributing them to the various taxing entities. And in this provision requires us to figure out how much more taxes we're getting under this new methodology than what we used to get. And I think that's going to be a challenge for us administratively to do that. So we'll see how well that goes. But one of the other things I think is kind of interesting here is traditionally, property tax has always been a local tax. It stays within basically the borders of the county. So you pay property taxes in Santa Barbara County. It goes to Santa Barbara County taxing entities, your school district, your college district, you know, the county, the city, if you live in one, some special districts, et cetera. But this provision, interestingly enough, will take what would have been allocated to schools, and again, I'm only talking about the additional amount, quote unquote, that's going to be generated because of this change. And that'll go to a fund at the state level for them to distribute it under some formulas to school districts.
Taking it out of the control of the county.
Right. So to me, that's a little difference. You know, that's kind of a new territory. You talk about the slippery slope. That's one that, you know, doesn't come out very well in, you know, what literature I've been reading about. But to me, that's like, oh, that's something people should think about, I believe.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, everybody trusts the state, though, to do the right thing with our tax dollars, don't they?
Of course they do, right?
Of course they do. So, and just to back up a little bit what you said, now that you mentioned it, I remember reading about it being problematic for offices such as yourself, because you've got to go out and get appraisals done on all these, you know.
Yeah, all that assessment work, you know, figuring out what the valuation, that's not how we do business or have traditionally done business here since Prop 13 with the assessors. So, you know, that's going to be staffing up and so forth. There'll be additional costs for that. Now, this amendment does allow all those additional costs to be paid out of these additional taxes to be generated. And another little caveat, it's kind of interesting. One, the first due money flow out of this additional money is to the state of California to basically backfill the state for lost income taxes due to higher exemptions on those tax returns.
Wow.
Interesting, huh? So wow. There'll be additional money, obviously, left over, but it's just funny how the trickle or how the flow goes.
Right. And you said, you know, the increase, it'll be very costly to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But then you said the new tax will pay for the cost. So I got an idea. Let's not do it. And then you don't have to generate the cost. You don't have the expense. But I imagine that there's going to be plenty of excessive revenue above and beyond whatever it costs.
Well, that's the projections that I'm seeing. So I would presume that's true. And not to scare all, you know, property owners out there, there are some new exemptions being applied and some thresholds. I think something, if your property is, there's a $500,000 exemption you take and so forth like that. So I'm not sure individually how large of an impact, particularly small businesses, it might see. But it's their attempt to get it out there and try to have some equity in it.
You know, when you think about, and I'm not a leasing expert, commercial real estate, but I know there are a lot of what's called triple net leases where the maintenance and property taxes and everything are borne by the tenant.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're a tenant who's running a restaurant and suddenly your monthly bill skyrockets, how are you going to pay for that without raising prices? Or, you know, if you're leasing an office, you probably have a long-term lease, but I imagine a lot of these leases are subject to CPI, Consumer Price Index increases, and I guess if the tax goes up, then the tenant's going to have to pay it, and they're going to pass it on to the consumer. So they might say, oh, don't worry, this is not going to impact residential homeowners as long as you don't want to go out and buy anything.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That meal that used to cost $10 might be $11 now, and that'll add up.
Right, right. As my father used to tell me, he had enough money to last him the rest of his life as long as he didn't have to buy anything. My guess is Ed Price. He's the assistant auditor controller and the Santa Barbara County Auditor Controller's Office. What, no, is that true? Are you still in the auditor controller's office?
I am.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you're the assistant auditor controller, but I got so many titles here.
Yeah.
You're formerly the property tax division chief.
Right.
At the same auditor controller's office. Okay, good. Well, I'm glad you didn't let me deviate away from the 2020 November ballot split roll initiative is what we're talking about. And we're talking about splitting the evaluation on properties, currently separating out residential and commercial, and commercial properties are in the bullseye target. Okay. Anything else to add before we...
No, I think that covers that one pretty well. It's kind of a big change. Like you said, it could be a slippery slope. And what I've noticed in particular, any attempts to try to do the split rolls, which have come and gone over the over time, tend to always have some extra provisions and add-ons, extra work, like I said, to our office to figure out additional monies and that kind of stuff. It just kind of adds to the complication of how property taxes are administered in this state. You know, how other states where they do a very simple model where it's market valuation times a tax rate, you get your money, the administration is much, much simpler. But in California, we tend to add new things over years for new needs and so forth, and it gets complex and easy to make an error, and when you do, it can take a long time to fix it.
Right, to reevaluate. Mm-hmm. I know with residential, you know, you have an opportunity to get a reassessment, and it's actually, you know, it goes through periods of the market. The retroactive to everybody, that's going to be a long road to hoe. What is, and you mentioned in the past, how many times has the, I know the split roll is continually being discussed, but have we ever had it on the ballot?
I'm not aware of it actually making it to a ballot, but you hear it come up in the political world and various groups and proponents trying to support a change. And, yeah, for interesting reasons. I mean, there are some arguments to be made that, you know, it might be blocking new business from coming into the market because existing businesses are benefiting from very low tax rates and so forth like that, tax burden. So that might be an interesting issue. And a lot of people don't realize that Prop 13, that valuation also applies to the commercial property. They think it just applies to their personal residence. And it can be startling when they find out, and there was a case in Santa Barbara County where there's a strip mall and it had a grocery store on one end and on one end of it, and on the other end it had some sort of a pharmacy-type store and throw in a few things in between, coffee shop or whatever. And the property itself was paying less property taxes than I was paying on my personal residence. And it was because the property had been owned at the beginning of Prop 13, so it had a really, really low valuation. And, of course, I bought my house just a couple years ago, so I was at market, and you know what's happened in 40 years of real estate in Santa Barbara.
So you refused to shop there?
No, it's not even close to where I live, but it's an interesting, it's one of those things, and that's how the law works, and a lot of people just don't realize it. So some people think, oh, that's not fair, you know, the businesses maybe should pay more, and, you know, that's an interesting political debate.
Good point. The other side of that is if one was willing to say, hey, look, you know, it's good for everybody, and if their tax base is lower, that means that they're going to be able to charge lower rents, and it's all going to be passed on, or not, and they're just going to be making more profit. But the odd part about it that is kind of I'm not going to call it a scam, but there's kind of a huge fission in the law where corporations can change ownership, but through some technicality, the percentage of ownership doesn't change, so it's not considered a sale, so the property is not reassessed.
Yes, that's true. So this would effectively eliminate that problem, I think. People are smart, and so they could figure out ways to transfer assets, property, by the change of ownership through, various corporations, partnerships, that kind of stuff. And like you said, avoid triggering a reappraisal of the actual underlying, real estate. Whether that's fair or not, I don't know. But, as we all are, we don't want to pay more tax than we're supposed to. And if there's legal ways of getting around it, so be it, right?
Right, right, right. My guest, Ed Price, Assistant Auditor Controller, Santa Barbara County Auditor Controller's Office. Okay. Anything else to add?
Oh, I think that's it, don't you?
I think, well, you know what? I thought I was ready to move on a few minutes ago, but you kept coming back, loading the gun there. You got some great ammunition. Good stuff. I appreciate it. And now I'm an expert. Let's see. I tell you what. I want to talk a little bit about the impacts, or actually you want to talk a little bit about the impacts of the Thomas Fire Montecito reflow. We got a few other topics, see if we can squeeze them in. And why don't we take a commercial break and give us a little a longer second segment. Okay, Ed?
Sounds good.
Thank you. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.